I am trying to adhere more or less to your plan, in case you haven't noticed.
I noticed.
Yes. So, okay.
Try it. Right. If it doesn't,
so far it's working. So far it's working. Lemaisa, I want to have my frock by June 22nd, too. Okay, we're on Aloha Zayin. Totally Shema. Yeah, he's going to get one, too. We're all going to shop at the seal for the frock. Okay. Yeah, you can rent one for the evening. Same store as a red tuxedos, red frocks. All right, we're on Daf Yud Aleph and Beis. Shor HaMazik. And an ox which is Mazik, which is an Isaac. This Mishnah is long, but basically simple halacha. An ox which damages in Rosh Hashanah Nizak, Ketzer, how so? Nogach, if it gores, Nogach. If it shoves, no shach, it bites, ravats, it crouches, but it kicks, mishul sarabim, all these things are mishuneh, they are different, and therefore they're keren, mishayin chatzin ezi pay half damages, mishul sanizak in the domain of the person who's damaged, chavitam remenes, ekshayim every time it says you pay full damages, and chachomer reim chatzin ezi, chom say half nezek. Namlem Rabbi Tarb said, look it, my b'mokom shehegel ala shein v'ala regel, In Rishus HaRabim, we're leaning vis-a-vis Shane and Regal, right? Shane and Regal are off the hook altogether, right? Rishus HaRabim Meshupatur, right? And Rishus HaRabim is off the hook. Hechmerle, nevertheless, Shane and Regal were strict upon them, Rishus HaNizak, in the domain of the Nizak. Lishalem Nezek Sholem, that you pay full. In other words, you go by Shane and Regal, by the tooth and by the foot, from 0 to 100, right? Right, you go from zero payment in Rishus HaRabim to 100% payment in Rishus HaYochid, right? So that's the case. Malkom Shehech Minal Kerem Rishus HaRabim. Kerem Rishus HaRabim is more severe. You pay 50% in Rishus HaRabim, right? L'shai Chatzi Nezek, Eino Dich Nachmei Leim Rishus HaNizak, is not a Kav Chomish V'Machmir, and Rishus HaNizak, L'shai Nezek Sholem. If by Shein Rego we go from 0% in Rishus HaRabim to 100% in Rishus HaNizak, so then by Karen, we already are standing at 50% in Rosh HaRabim. Surely we should go to 100% in Rosh HaYochid. That's the logic of the case, right? That's Rabbi Tarfot's logic. So it says, Gemara, no, they answer with that famous line. Amalei said, Tayola Bominadin. It's sufficient when learning something out by extrapolation, Leos Kanidon, that the thing which is extrapolated is like the place from which it is extrapolated. Which means that here you're extrapolating Karen Bershus HaYachid from Karen Bershus HaRabim. So therefore it cannot exceed its source. If its source is 50%, then it itself is also 50%, no more. Okay? It's principle of Dayla Bominadin. Whatever is funny is learned out by extrapolation. Leos Kanidon, it's like the place from which it is derived, no greater than that. Okay? Baruch Hashem, Yushalmi sees no reason to get into this topic. Okay? Not one of my favorite ones. So, Ma'abish is a rabbi, Chati Nezek, just a shus rabbi, it's half damages. Abish is an Isaac, so to a shus an Isaac, Chati Nezek. Armalam, so he's so sorry. Tarman tried to do an end run around this, and he tried to short circuit to mix metaphors, the dialogue of that issue. He said, look, let me try like this. I won't extrapolate Karen from Karen, which of course would be require me to go by the proof, the source text of 50%. I'll learn Karen from Rega. We're lenient by Karen, right? Shem Rosh HaRabim is zero. Karen Rosh HaRabim is 50%. Malkin Shem Relayim, a place where you're more machmir, when in Rosh HaYachid, that Rosh HaNizak, that the Shem Rosh pays 100%. Eil Dish Shemra Karen is not a Kabachor, the word machmir by Karen, that Karen must pay 100%. So he basically submitted the same thing, but he tried to do the end run around them by starting it not from Karen itself, but by starting it from Shane Regal. It's really the same idea. They called him on it. They said, no, it's still the same thing. Omer Lo, they said to him, get dial up Amir Adin Leos Kanidon. ultimately you're learning out from the halacha in Rishus Aniyat, the halacha of Keren. And therefore, Rabbi Rishus, a Rabbi Chatzin Nezek, Rishus Rabbi Tzav Nezek, Rabbi Rishus Anizek, so to the Rishus of the person's damage, also Chatzin Nezek. Okay. There is none. There is no halacha. I'm assuming there is one who says there is.
What did we have a few days ago?
That was Tzoros.
Which is a form of?
It's a form of Karen, but you're talking about Karen itself. That's a subsidiary of Karen. But the question is Karen. No, no, but we don't know if level Karen. No. We don't know about Tzoros and Rishus HaYochid. We haven't discussed that. The only discussed Tzoros and Rishus HaRav, not Tzoros and Rishus. Says in the Mishnah Gemara, now this Gemara does not apply to this Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, the Rabbi Tarif, I have to tell you what Mishnah applies to. It applies to the Mishnah at the end of the first parak. Mishnah at the end of the first parak had the identical Gemara, parak Aleph Mishnah Dalet. There it said that Shor Amazik, Bishus HaNizak is Nezek Sholim. With sure damages in the private property, it's Nezek Sholim, right? So says Gemara, saying it says there on Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Tarfani. That Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfan. There's Rishus HaNizak, Rabbi Tarfan, or Nezek Sholim. Rabbi Tarfan is the one who says that there's Nezek Sholim in Rishus HaYochid. Chachomim Chatzin Nezek, Chachomim say there's a Chatzin Nezek. Only half Nezek, not full Nezek. Okay? So that Mishnah over there, it says full Nezek is really Rabbi Tarfan. Other more of the other. A human being is always more. Ben Shoyge, Ben Mezu, whether he's unintentional or intentional. Ben Er, whether he's awake, Ben Yashin, or sleeping. Simei Sein Chaver, if he blinds his friend's eye, Veshibre Sakim, and he breaks his friend's objects, whether it's Mezu or Shoyge, Veshai Mezu, showing full damages must be paid. I did not look at you on the mission in the Baal Pi. There could be. It's a Baba Kama over there. Okay. Says Mark. You said the same thing. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. This is not in the Baal Pi. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Masnito, though it's obviously logical and possibly it's way by the Rambam. Masnisa Armish is Bashiush name is Shane. If they're both sleeping there, in other words, you fall, you know that there's somebody else sleeping there when you go to sleep, and vice versa. If somebody is sleeping, his friend came and lay down next to him, and he rolled over and broke his neck. Well, not his neck, broke his leg. The guy who came to sleep by the first guy, he's the Muad, right? The first guy's not Muad, he had no idea. So you have to have some knowledge of what's going on. And in order to become a muad. But if you were totally innocent and somebody else came and laid down next to you while you were sleeping, then you're a potter and he's the guy who's chayim, which makes a lot of sense. You don't like it?
Well, in terms of what? He's not.
The person
he is now,
what
he is, the one who's
negligent. Right. That's the same thing as muad.
Oh. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it means, but right. Okay, that's fine. It means that the person who owns the ox has to safekeep it. So it means that the person has to safekeep himself. Okay, you're right. It's a lot of tough. Okay. Hajjal Ketzer Gomorrah. Hamineh Chasakar. Rishus Rabbi. You put a jug down Rishus Rabbi. Uvo Akhav and Niskabo. Somebody else came and stumbled against it. Bishavra. Daddy broke it, he's potter. Not only that, in Muzakba, if the guy who stumbled over gets damaged because he stumbled over the jug, Baal Chav is Chai Ben Zokov, the owner of the jug. Right, he has to pay. Says Mar, now I'm going to learn this Gemara like the Escoria manuscript, which means I'm going to change one word consistently throughout. Okay? The way the word changes is, Ve'ein der pliot, de'ein der chodam, la'havchi. Rishus HaRabim, not La Nichon. Okay? And a couple of people change the similar ideas, but some people leave it the same, and there's different meanings. So I'm just going to learn it consistently. Lay dech me and adam lafti b'shalam, and that's a question. Says the Gemara, why does he not watch out where he's going? It should be his responsibility. You know, he should look out and not hit the pitcher. Let him go around. So don't people to check it out? Rav Amar b'mamale es kol rishus harabim. Now again, I'm explaining this according to my interpretation based on this manuscript. It's not necessarily the only interpretation, nor necessarily the right interpretation, but I like it, so I'm saying over. Rav said b'mamale es kol rishus harabim. The only time people pay attention is if the entire rishus harabim is full of jugs. They notice there's nowhere to go. Okay, this is not like the Bavli, by the way. What? And right.
So therefore there's no room.
Right. That's the Pashup Shah in the Gemara according to the Bavli.
Right.
But not according to the Ushami the way I'm interpreting it. The way the Ushami say a person only notices if the whole Shusram is full of chavios. But if you don't fill the entire Shusarabim, ain't there from the other Leos Mafim Shusarabim. People don't notice one jug. They notice many jugs, but they don't notice a lot of jugs, which, as he Rameyer correctly pointed out, is the converse of the Bavli. The Bavli says you're not chayev if you put down one jug, because you should have gone around. You only chayev if you put down a lot of jugs, because then he had no way to go around. The Yerushalmi is lehepech. The Yerushalmi says if you put down one jug, then you're not chayev because you should. Then you are chayev because he wouldn't notice it, right? Put down a lot of jugs, then you're not chai because he would have noticed and made sure to make arrangements to have gone around the many jugs which you left there. Okay? So it says Mar Shmuel says, Ove Mali's Korushu Sarabim, either when you fill the entire Shu Sarabim, then a person notices, Oh Shri the Sunal Karen service, or when the jug is around the corner. Now here too, going through Bavli means when the jug is around the corner you don't know to watch it. Right? Because you can't see it. No, but I'm explaining the exact opposite. That when it's on a corner, you're careful. Because as you go around the corner, you make sure not to hit the jug. In other words, when you're walking straight out, you don't notice a jug in the middle. But when you're turning a corner, then you pay more attention. Right? When you're driving, same thing. Right? You pay more attention when you're about to make a turn. Rabbi Lezer argues. He says, Fafilu einam emale kol rishus harabim. Even if you don't fill the entire rishus harabim. The Gilan Ephraim takes out the next few words. They're redundant. There are a couple of redundancies here. So skip a line to the next afilu. Vafilu ain't in the surah Karen says, obviously, even if it's not a corner, ain't derech me'odam li'os ma'afchim b'shus harabim? Does a person not pay attention? Of course a person pays attention. A person's not an absent-minded professor. A person sees there's a jug in front of him, right? A person, regardless of whether the entire shus harabim is full or not, regardless of whether it's around a corner or not, a person's careful. So, Lamaisa, he argues, and he says, Derech Me'odam is Lahavchim B'Shus HaRabim, no matter what the situation is. So, Lamaisa, according to him, it comes out that it's not clear exactly what our Mishnah is talking about when it says that you're Chayev, right? He should have walked around. So, he basically leaves it difficult. There's no real answer, according to him, as to what exactly is going on. Anyway, the Mishnah doesn't bother with things like Kadon Chavis. We don't do, I mean, Yerushalmi doesn't bother with that. Because Yerushalmi doesn't want Mishnah that way. Well, which date of Shmuel are you referring to? Oh, that whole discussion, yeah. That comes as a result of the Mishnah in point of the Monagarov here? That's interesting, you're right, that it leaves it out. I didn't even notice that. Okay. Interesting point. Okay, yes, we believe. We know that you're brilliant. All right, says where? Hi, Samimale. I assume I wasn't meant to hear that, so we'll just ignore it. If the entire Rishus HaRabim is full. Now, this is a pretty cool case. The entire Rishus HaRabim is full. Imi tilena mikan bitnena kan. Nasabor. It's pretty neat. The entire Shazram is full, okay? He's got to pass. So what is he going to do? It's a technical issue. How is he going to get from point A to point B? Well, so you'll see, obvious thing is he'd pick up a jug, put it down elsewhere, right? But he's making a bore then. Because wherever he puts it down, he now is going to be making the bore. This innocent passerby who just wants to go through, he's going to make a bore whenever he moves. So what does he do? He should take a stick and break the jug which is in his way. It's an amazing concept. Okay? I'm not sure why the Yerushalmi is not concerned about the pot charts going and being mazik people. The Yerushalmi never does that. He's not concerned with that. He says either he should take a stick and break it, or Yavala should walk over and finish bro nishbro. If it breaks, it breaks. Alright? Now, the Yerushalmi does ask on this breaking with the stick, but not what I would have asked, right? I would have asked the Baal Batish question. Aren't you making pot shards which are a boar b'shus or rabbit? Yerushalmi asks a different question. Says one, not a pretty cool question, don't get me wrong, but not the question I would have asked. The Shemin Adol, so let's hear it from here, which means really a question. Shosh Allah Chaveiro. Now, it seems this is also the case in the Bible, although I didn't remember it when I looked at it. Shor shalo chavero, you have an ox which started wrestling with its friend, its fellow ox, right? Buba, it rose on top of it in order to kill it or damage it. Buba ba shar lishmot shalo. So the owner of the ox which is being wrestled to the ground comes to remove, to extricate his ox. Or the ox which is extricates itself. Uvinafau umes, and the attacking ox falls and dies. You're exempt. However, in the chayo vinafau umes, if you knocked over the attacking ox, you're the owner of the ox but you knocked over the attacking ox, when it died, you're chayav. Now, why are chayav? We'll get to an amid base. But you're chayv. So we see, you're not allowed to knock off the offending ox. You can only save your own ox. So here, too, you shouldn't be allowed to break the jug in order to get by. You shouldn't be allowed to, because breaking the jug to get by is tantamount to attacking the attacking ox. Okay, that's the worst question.
Breaking the jug was a direct action, and knocking off the ox that's attacking is an indirect.
Why? Same thing. Pulling out your ox is indirect, and that's okay.
Knocking off, pushing off the offending ox.
It's the same thing like breaking the jug. If that's awesome, this should be awesome. Now, the Ritba says that this Yerushalmi is discussing the issue, which the Bible doesn't get to in any way in as much detail, called Ovid Inish Dinan Avshek. And a person go and perform vigilante justice on the cod or on the pitcher or on the attacking ox. That's what it is, vigilante justice, or the Ovid Inish Dinan Avshek. We're going to get to that later on. A few more lines. We see not everything. No, that's exactly the point.
I understand. Normally, do we understand it only in terms of hitting people or creating monetary damages?
Well, see, the case of the Bavli of Avi Yishtan and Bashay is if somebody owes you money, you have no recourse except to beat him up. So then you're allowed to beat him up. That's the case in the Bavli. Okay? These are expansions of the principle of Avi Yishtan, because here he doesn't owe you any money, right? At least not yet, but you want to make sure that it doesn't happen. And that's what Yishtan discussed now. For lo yachil meimarle, can't the guy lend the resha, right? The beginning, the first case, where you take out your own ox, which is being attacked, can't the owner of the attacking ox say, you should have left the ox there? Ilushvakta, were you to have left your ox, I would have paid you. This way I'm out my ox. Why'd you remove your ox? So it says more, the guy whose ox is being taxed, could say, it was shvakta. If I would have let my ox in place, yes, he would have paid me, but your ox was a tom. You only could have given me half damages, so I would have lost. Says more, you shall be fine. Okay, hagatz mashir muad. What if the attacking ox is a muad? So is that taina a good taina? Because the owner of the attacking ox said, you should have left yours in place, and I would have paid you. Says Yerushalmi, very realistically, especially considering modern American society, no. The person, the owner of the attack, the ox which is being attacked, says, lo ko mimcha, you do not have the power to demand of me, she'em echazer loch l'cho imach b'adidinim, that I should have to take you to court and sue you. In other words, you're going to give me, and if I don't have to rely on extracting from you the money of the damages, because I'm afraid you're going to put me through the ringer, or through the loop, or whatever the term is. So therefore, I just saved myself. Okay? Says Mara, okay. Let's try this case. So that's actually a catch which you don't answer. It sounds like you can't break the other guy's thing. You can walk over it. If it breaks, but you can't actually go and break it. What about this case? Okay, fine. Hiniach chavetz b'shus rabbi, left your jug b'shus rabbi. Uvachev hiniach acheres smucha, and then somebody else came and left one smucha lo, or trying to sell chase girsa to all them, which is a little bit better, but it means the same thing. Somebody else put his jug on top of yours. So what happens if you remove your jug? It's false. Breaks. So can you remove your jug or not? See the case? Neither of them should be there. You want to take yours away, you're doing tshuva. But if you take yours away, his is going to fall and break. So what's the story in that case? So says the mother, her bar recently told Shalom, imitena kavit nena kan. Now, so what does he want to do? He wants to remove the pitcher which is on top of his pitcher in order to get his pitcher. He can't do that. Because if he takes it off and puts it elsewhere, nasa bor, he's making it bor, right? By taking off this pitcher. El itos hamakel, so say that he should take a stick Bishberena and break the one on top, or the Shaitan shall change the next words Yavro led to Yishmot Shalom Mitachdei. He should extricate his from underneath. Mim Nishbra the top one breaks. It breaks.
Now, if he's picking up someone else's picture, is he making a Kenyan? That's what the Gemara is doing. So he's taking possession.
Certainly, that if that when he puts it down becomes his board. Yeah, absolutely.
Even though he has no intention of making.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Because to put side down Shus Rabbi automatically makes you the author of that nezek. Whether you own halachically or not. Okay? So says the Mara, Nishmina Minado. Let's try and prove from this in a different case. Now, according to many Achroinim, this case is the same case we had on top, with the oxen wrestling again, and they changed the gears accordingly. But I'm going to learn it like the Shaitar Yisrael, who changed it to a different brisa, a different existing brisa, which fits into this case over here as well. So it says, Mishimin Ador, sure, it should be instead of Sha'ola Chaveiro. It should be Harodef Achar Chaveiro, your case. An ox which is pursuing its friend. Uba Ba'a Shor, and instead of Shatav Dachav, it should be Latila Shalom. The owner of the ox is being pursued, comes to save his poor pursued ox, right? So, here we should have Rimat Shalom, Allah, it should be Al Shalom, the Chav. If before the pursuing ox got your ox, which is being pursued, you push it off, right? And Vinova Mason it died, plus you're exempt. However, V'im Shalom, if the attacking ox is already on top of your ox, then the Chov Vinova Mason, then you push him off and he dies, Chayav, then you're liable. So we see here that, before the situation comes upon you, you can deflect the situation. Once the situation is upon you, you can't deflect it anymore. So, The safety here is you can't break the other guy's pitcher in order to get to your pitcher. Because his pitcher is already on top of yours. You can't do that. You could try an extra yours, and if his breaks, it breaks. But you can't go intentionally and break his pitcher, even to save your own. Okay? Because it's a situation where, like, the ox is on top of the other ox. You can't kill the offending ox. Now, the Ori Yosher goes through this, and he says a very... The Pnei Moshe does, too. The Ori Yosher explains a little bit more. Why is this? The ox was on top of your ox, and it's still a plaintiff. Why could you kill him? It's still at this point, right?
Yes.
So the Ori Yosher says something very simple and elegant. He says, you become a mazik. When you kill your animal is being pursued by another animal, then that animal has a dinner break if yes, and you can stop it. But the moment I don't like something the Shire Torah Zitz Roll did on the top line. Now there's the door, you have to think about the Orosh again. On the top line it said, Imach lo ola shomto, and Vidaf ala mace. And the Shire Torah Zitz changed Imach lo ola al shalo d'cho'o, and pushed off the ox. But now I'm not so sure I understand the Ori Yosher. You're allowed to push off his ox if it's on top, if it's pursuing yours, but not once it's on top of yours. Only when it's pursuing, not when it's on top. Why would it be a difference?
He's still holding him. He's going to kill him.
So the Pnei Moshe explains, he says, in this case, in the case where the other guy's ox is already on top of your ox, so the damage already has occurred, at least it's begun. So now you can't, for some reason, now I don't understand it as much as I thought I did, but now you can't intervene on the other ox's cheshbon. That makes you a mazik. If you're trying to protect your ox from a nezek, then you can intervene. But if you try, because that's called Hatzolah, but if you're trying to, once Nezek has occurred, to separate it by doing something harmful to the ox which is attacking, at that point the tables are turned and you become the mazik.
But the Nezek is still occurring, and then you don't want to put it until it's over.
Right, that's the flaw in what he's saying. But the bottom line is you can save yourself before the Nezek comes to you. Once Nezek has come to you to save yourself, you yourself can't become a Mazik. I don't understand it now. I don't understand. I thought I didn't understand it. But that is what they say. I'm parroting what this Sfarah is. Okay, and the Gemara gives out a couple of other examples of this. Amar Rabbi Yisrael says, V'tishon me nekid rives in the same Pespalan case. Ra'amas amayim shal tevis, you see a canal coming. And it's coming into your field. If the canal, which is a tidal canal, right, if it hasn't yet entered your field, you can divert the waters elsewhere, even though you know it's going to flood somebody else's field. Because you're not being masked, you're just saving yourself. However, once the water entered your domain, you can't divert them elsewhere. Because in that case, you were actually being mazik be a dime. Same principle. You can't, before you're trying to ward off hezek for yourself, because it has yet reached itself, you can do it even if somebody else will suffer as a result. But if you've already been attacked, right, in that case, to ward it off, somebody else makes you the mazik, that's not okay. Is that at all clear?
Yeah, because it's already in your Rishus HaRabbah.
Your Rishus HaRabbah. Right.
So once it's in, you've made a opinion on it.
So to speak.
Yeah. And therefore you can't.
That's right, that's what we're saying. Right. Similar idea. No, it doesn't answer. It doesn't answer the question. I hate kreso argiro. It's supposed to be one word according to the oracle on the bottom. There's a certain very unfair tax, a very large tax. Adlo yese, before the tax is imposed, I hate kreso argiro. Adlo to this tax is imposed. Shari meimar, you could say pollen of it is a. Pulling of it into you could say, well, this guy makes a lot of money, this guy makes a lot of money, I don't make a lot of money. That's called deflecting, even somebody else's cheshbon. But however, I mean, the ASA, what's the taxes is bestowed on the community, imposed on the community. So at that point, we say that I ain't crazy, I'll get up, also, you can't tell them who's rich and who's not. Because before the assessments are made, you can save your own money. But once the assessments are made, by saying, well, you know, look at them. But once the assessments are made already, for you to get out of your assessment and put it on somebody else's shoulder, that's already not a form of permitted. That's not permitted. That's more, much more closer to Gezel itself. Okay, makes sense? No? No? Yes? No, maybe?
Because the deed is done.
Right.
Over.
Well, you haven't paid yet.
No, but the unit is...
Right. What's he saying? It's like the water's already entered your field. So it's part of your persona, part of your their personal liability. Similarly, Ahodin Aksanai Parno, Parcha, somebody who's in charge of quartering soldiers. Ad Loyesim Roy, before the Roman soldiers come, you could bribe the commanding officer not to quarter any in your house. I mean, the Aceramoy, once the Roman soldiers come, also you can't bribe him anymore at that point, because beforehand you're deflecting danger. Now you're buying your way out of a communal situation.
They're running going to quarter the soldiers to another house.
What? Right, they're going to quarter them somewhere else. Right, they're going to go somewhere else. Hiniach Amlo Bershus HaRabim. If you love your socialist rabbi, uvacher v'niach is really a different case. Uvacher v'niach is a different case. You love your socialist rabbi, bo'acher v'niach acheres mukhla. Another guy comes and puts a second stone next to the first stone. Uvacher v'niach. It doesn't matter. Uvacher v'niach v'su. And then, I guess it's what next to. Well, the one guy comes and stumbles against the first stone, and then v'nechva b'zu, he hits himself on the second stone. Mi chay b'nizko, who's liable in the damages. A recent guy left a banana peel there, right? Hashedi, or the second guy who left his idols there. So, no, not idols. What are we talking about here? Was it Hashedi? Oh, there are two stones, right. The one stone which caused you to stumble, and the other guy stone.
The first stone wouldn't have been there, he might not have hit himself.
He wouldn't have hit the second stone, right. Right, that's the issue, right. You stumble on the first stone, hit the second stone. Yeah, we're not up to there yet, though. We're going to get to that. So it says, how did you know? What did you say? So, Michai Mitzko, Michel Shein, Yishmir Minado. Oh, I guess you can, okay, never mind. Shoresh Dol Chavero, an ox which pushes, this is also in Bavli, an ox which pushes his friend, Nuffle the bar and it falls into the board. Baal Ashor Chai, the Baal Ashor, which did the pushes his Chai, Baal Bar is bought there. Right, his boar was not would not have been hit unless the ox was pushed. So Sotir would be saying the guy who left stone number one is the guy who's liable because he caused the guy to fall on stone number two. And Rabbi Nassim says, about poor potter. Rabbi Nassim Rabbi Muad, if the ox is Muad, Zeno Se Mechta. The Baal Shor and Baal Bor each pay 50% because they both contributed. With some, if the animal is a tom, we don't know who since it's only some, we're not sure who's responsible. Then Baal Bor knows that Shnei Chalokim. The owner of the board gives two parts, which is two thirds, I think. No, two quarters. Baal Shor Revi, and he comes out a quarter, because each guy gives half of what their potential damages were. Armei Chirichin said, no, Kinimas is the read. This is the way to read the Prabhisa. Baal Bor knows that Shnei Chalokim. Baal Bor pays the three portions, three quarters, which you can't get reimbursed by the Baal Shor. Baal Shor knows there be, and the Baal Shor gives a quarter of the. Okay? So the bottom line is here that we see that. What do we see? Forgot. What do we see here?
It's prorated.
Well, what? It is prorated, yeah, but. We wanted to bring a riot from two stones where you fell over one and hit yourself on the other. I'm not sure if there's any clear cut evidence from here. What?
You said 50%, but that was for the shore falling
into the water.
Yeah. So is that the same thing?
Well, that's the question, whether you extrapolate back or not.
Sounds like you're two stones.
That could be. All right. That could be. It says in our front, in near Chavna Vishus Rabbi, God left his stone Vishus Rabbi. Ruach v'chisal Vishus HaYachi. A wind came and tossed in Vishus HaYachi. Ubach and Yitzchabot, somebody else came and stumbled over it. Now, according to the Pasha Pshat, somebody else stumbled over it in Vishus HaYachi. But the Mechamayim goes nuts in this. He says, in that case, for sure you're potter. Because you didn't leave anything in Rishus HaYachi. Why should we chai just because the wind pushed it around? It may have the wind pushed it around and Rishus HaRav place to place, but not plush Rishus HaYachi. Rishus HaYachi is up in his potter. So therefore, he actually changes the gear so here. And it says in Mechamayim that it should say here, that it went back into Rishus HaRavim afterwards. In other words, the wind took in Rishus HaYachim and then went back into Rishus HaRavim. So the question is, in that case, does it lose its real shame of Bor Rishus HaRavim? Since the middle was Rishus HaYachim, does that transcend the fact that it was the middle of Rishus HaYachim and then goes afterwards and went back to Rishus HaRavim?
Now this was an act of God. You didn't make any.
No, act of God, rather, so absolutely.
You're still responsible?
Not if it's Rishus HaNizak, though.
No.
You don't need a kinyan on the board. The chayav boy, even you don't own it. Okay? The contrary, an owned boy, you're probably not chayav for it. It's only a boy which is not owned. Okay? So in any event, so said, because an owned boy is usually in Urush or Sayachi, where you're not liable for anything. In any event, the Gemara doesn't answer this. The Gemara asks another question. Gemara says, Maushi and chayav is very liable in Ezek. Now, in Yech Aviv, so I have no. If you left the stone Rishus HaRabi in public domain, somebody else came and tricked upon him, and it spewed to Rishus HaYachin, and again, according to Mechamayim, it has to come back into Rishus HaRabi in this case. But here, it didn't get there by the wind, but rather the guy who stumbled upon it kicked it into Rishus HaYachin, and then it came back afterwards. So what do we say? Maushir chai benisko. So it was a chai benesek in this case, right? So it's more by Biyachin said, Iniach avno sakinu maso b'shus harabim. We don't actually answer the question. We just leave it dangling. Now, a different question. Rabbi Yochanan, Niach Aviv is Avno, his father. Avno, he left his stone, Maso, his lobe, Shusa Rabin. Uvach, Ebenez, Kabayim, somebody else comes and stumbles upon them. It's Lochisa Beyond, he's holding a plate full of oil. Beit Shiniz, Kabayim, whether he stumbled on the stone, Benichba, Pekarka, and then banged to the ground, Beit Shechba, Beven, or he banged on the stone. And then he stumbled on the ground. Chayev al niske odom. In all these cases, the owner of the Evan or Sakin, which should have been there, is liable for the damages to the individual. These parts are on the nezek done to the plate, however. This famous Rabbi Yochanan clearly tells us, Bar shel nizakin potur ala kelim. A boy which is initially meant to cause damage, not to kill. If kalim get broken as a result, though the individual is potter. Okay? Because kalim obviously very fragile, right? So again, a boy shall be zakin, potter kalim. If kalim fall in there, then the Torah gets you off the hook in that case. Now here says more fascinating thing, which is unique sheet to the Shami. If you mederach hatocha itiach on these gates lochis. If one walking down the road, he banged onto glass vessels, chayot, then he's liable. Now, what does it mean? Chor just said there's no bor for kalim, but he says that. So the Shaitar still explains when we say there's no bor for kalim. In other words, if somebody's kalim falls into your bor, your potter, we only say that. If it's a bore in the ground and you fall into it, but if it's a bore which is coming at you sideways, so then in that case the Shaita Yisrael wants a taina. That there was a man once a time, as he explains on to him. He says that. Person who owns the rock or the load wasn't mafkirit. So it's not a bore. When is it a bore? If you leave something that's just which you're mafkir. If you're not mafkirit, it's not yours. Right? I mean, if you are mafkirit, that's it, right? If you leave Rabim Anan side, it's clear to us you want to come back and take them. That's not a classic case of bore. So then, in that case, if the guy falls, so then as a result of hitting the Avno Sakina Maso, it's still considered to be parameters of bore. But if the guy walks by somebody else's Evan Sakina Maso, and he gets damaged as a result, which is the case which we're talking about here, Derech HaTocha, so then Chayef, because that's not considered to be a bore, then your protruding object which broke his plate is considered to be like an extension of yourself. Since it's an extension of yourself, so therefore you are chayev for what occurred to him. I'm not making myself clear, am I? Okay, if I walk by, if there's a stone on the ground, right, and I stumble over this cord, right, I stumble over this cord, so if this cord was just an isolated cord left on the ground by somebody else, that's a board which was arriving. But if it's my tape recorder over here, and I want this cord strung here, and somebody else goes across it and breaks b'derech hatocha, not b'derech nefila, by hitting it, not by falling afterwards on the ground or something. So then this is like an extension of myself. In that case, I daka pay the nezek. Okay? In a case where extension myself, I'm chai, and we don't say the p'tur of kalim in a bor. p'tur of kelim in a bor is only a bor which is in the ground, not a bor which you walk by, which obviously clearly represents something which this person wanted to safeguard. Okay? It's a little bit choppy. I thought I understood it better when I prepared this morning, but I'm not so happy with it. Okay. It says the Mishnah further. Yeah. Sure, but Nafal Shama Shora Chamor. That's true. That's a good point. That's my friend Russian apostle. It's like that. It's a good point. Okay. Halacha base. Nishma Kadam Shusarabim. Your jug broke in Shusarabim. Vuchok and I watered it. Vuchok Echo Mayim and somebody. What's the word? Slip, thank you, on the water. Oshlag B'chazel got damaged on the shards. Chayev, you're liable, because you should have removed it immediately. Reinemem miskavin chayev. It depends if you had a tent or not. Now, miskavin means you wanted to reacquire the broken pot shards and water after your fall. Then I say you're chayev because it becomes mamon, it becomes your intent to acquire it, even after the onus. Shannon is coming, but if you had no covenant to reacquire it, so when you fell, that was an onus. So, or when the jug fell, that was an onus. So therefore, that's not a reason for you to be chayev. Okay, if it's onus, you're not chayev. That's what you're saying.
It's
what?
It's negligence, whether you want to reacquire it or not. You spill the water and someone slips.
Yes.
So, aren't you
kind of
negligence?
No, because the motion says, Rabbi Rolts Niska's la poshea, his onus. By the time he hits the ground, so he's lost the kelim and the water. They're no longer his. There's mafka them, so therefore he can't be chayiv anymore. And that he can suffer in technicality. Since his fall was unintentional, so therefore, anything afterwards doesn't count as well. Okay, says in my lesson, Rav Shasta feel nechlukur. Blaz says the machlokas Rav Yehuda Rabbanan is only at the time of the fall. Avol Achon feel, but after the fall, kol ha'mamoid is chayev. Everybody agrees that he's chayev. The what?
Afterwards, he had time to clean up, but he didn't clean up.
So that's what you want to say, huh? Okay. Amar Yochanan said, Bein Mishasafil, Bein Ben Lachanafil, he machlokas. It's a machlokas no matter what. Meitzi Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yochanan said, I understand you. In Mishasafil, a potter. If I am falling, a potter, Enochav Chomer Lachanafil, not potter, certainly after the Nefila, right? In other words, you said Mishasafil Nechluku, right? That there's a tzad there to say a potter. Only after the Nefila, you're definitely chayev. How can you say that according to the opinion that holds you part them when it's falling and afterwards you're liable again? How do you have such a concept? It doesn't make any sense. Once you lose the chiyuv should go away. Okay?
I'm saying the opposite.
I know you're saying the opposite. Says Gemara, it should say here, Amarle. Right? Let's respond like this. Lama Patam Shas feels like a rhetorical question. He's asking, you ask me why I'm Patam Bashav, why I'm Patam Shas Tefila? I'll tell you. And here the Shai Tarn Shal throws it in. Ibnation Loni Skabin Lazik. It's not his fault. Because he didn't have a mind when he was falling to damage, right? So if that's the case, so why is he Chayiv after Tefila? Shai Tarn Shal puts in, actually puts in here, it says Lo Patim Shas Nefila. The Kshay Yisrael then puts in Amar Le Shkein Shkein Adam. It should be. I'm sorry. Lo Patim Amar Le Lo Patim Shas Nefila. They Shleis Kavein Lazik because they have in mind to be Mazik. And Lo Machay. Then to say Lo Machay Achar Nefila. Why is he liable after the fall? After the fall, if you relinquish ownership on it and don't clean up, then you're creating more Mishus Aravim. It's really mamish what you're saying, right? So at the time the tefillah, you're potter. Only after it's on the ground, you chayv, because you're being mafkin nezakim, which you are chayv, which you're chayv really to clean up. Isma sisim b'sayidim, isma sisim b'sayidim. Those are b'sayidim, those there's a brisa. It's really the same brisa, which could be construed to assist both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. The Tanya says, amazing, very strange brisa. Mechamayim literally I shouldn't say literally, but he almost tears out his head to his hair on this one. The Tanya says, it's totally out of left field. If a person leaves a stone and a zoshus rabim, and somebody else comes and stumbles against them, potter. The owner of the evidence and the master is potter. Yoshua gave the Jews the land of Israel on the condition they could put their stones and loads down, which is a rabim. So this is crazy. When anyone says, what? It's against everything we learned till now. You can't leave your Evan and Master, it's just a rabbi. What kind of business is this? Where's this price to come from? So he says, it must be that this price means you could temporarily put a stone and load down in order to reshoulder it, even with just a rabbi. But if you don't reshoulder it immediately, that's a problem. So on that, Rabbi, you talk should be chayv. Yeshua came and said, let's be lenient about this. If within a reasonable amount of time, he reshows the zone, even if it's not with great alacrity, he remains potter. Okay? Now here, this arrived both to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Well, how is it right to both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan? So it says, the reason why you're potter, she's Misham Naskin, Nichol Yeshua, Yisrael Saretz. Hoim Loinchol Yeshua, Yisrael Saretz, Amanaskate. Nobi had Yoshua had not made such a thing, then chayav, then you're liable. So the way the Mecha Maim explains it, he says that the din is like Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says that even after Nefila, there are those who say you're potter, but the Svara is like Rabbi Yehuda, because like Rabbi Lezer, because Rabbi Lezer is the one who said that no. For sure, once it fell, if you didn't clean it up, you're chayev. So that was the svara, that if you didn't clean it up on it fell, you're chayev. That was the svara until Yeshua came. Once Yeshua came, he says, even if you clean up, at least not right away, you're still potter, right? Because you didn't have in mind to be mazik when it fell down. So the maisa, this machlokas, this maisa reflects the svara of Rebbe Lezer, that logic indicates your chayiv for the potsherds broken on the ground, affects the din of Rabbi Yochanan, that you're not chayiv necessarily for potsherds on the ground, because you're sure potter, right? And therefore, as long as you didn't fall intentionally, you're potter from the potsherds left on the ground afterwards. Okay? So it's an amazing thing. On my side, I'm not sure if you're sure potter, so why, the proper question is, you know, what are we talking about the whole time of Evan Sakin Umas? You know, you left Evan and I should survive it. So it must be either Bismanazi Yeshua's tonight wore out or something. You know, the time Yeshua gave were for Yeshua's time, maybe. I don't know exactly what we
Yeshua did it for Yeshua's honor. Yeah.
Okay, so. There's still bits of Yeshua's honor today.
Yeah,
so.
It means you can do anything you want.
Okay, so it means Yeshua's conditions expire. That's what you're trying to say. Then you leave landmines. Okay, so there he is. So says more further. I'll die to Rabbi Yochanan. Turn the page. I'll die to Rabbi Yochanan. Miskavin lecharosin. Chon Rabbi Yochanan. The
west.
What? Did I skip something?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll die to Rabbi Yochanan. Miskavin lecharosin. Chon Rabbi Yochanan. You're only liable if you have in mind to pick up to acquire the pot shards. You don't have in mind, even if you leave them there, your pots are. Why? Because you don't have responsibility to clean up, not like doctors, but they'll say. I'll die to Rabbi Lezer, Miskam and Lazi, no, as long as you didn't clean them up, right, you're chayef. So as long as you didn't clean them up means, as long as you had in mind that they can be mazik, meaning that, you know, you're going to leave it there, you're liable. I would say Rabbi Law, Rabbi Rami, the both said Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Law. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Chachomim, Rabbi Yehuda concedes Chachomim. The Mafkir Shor Shenokach Meshusa Rabbi. there's an ox which gores. So you say, oh, my ox gored, I'm mafkir it. Right? So you say, no, shechayev, you're liable. Not only you're liable for what it did, but what it's going to do. Lo doyman nezek oimi ledezek nezek mahalach. You might be allowed to be mafkir, you're nezokim, you know, you're broken pot shards in Rosh Hashanah. Maybe because Yeshua said it's okay, or maybe because you didn't have in mind to be zoch in them, but you now have to let loose an ox and say, I'm mafkir it, and let me be potter afterwards. Stationary, yes, right? I guess because logic would be, although the Gemara doesn't discuss it, logic would be what we began with, Shederach mi'adam hafchim b'drachim. People will notice the potsherds, right? And therefore, they won't, which Tak Rebbe Lezer said, it's Tak Anim Yechavta. It was Rebbe Lezer back on your base who said, people are mafchim b'drachim at all times. They taka do pay attention. So it's Rebbe Lezer Shitos here. Rebbe Lezer holds here that oh no, it's against Rebbe Lezer Shita. Sorry, here he says you're chayiv just for leaving them there. Scratch that. But Rebbe Lezer, what I was about to say is it doesn't work. But anyway, at the bottom line is Rebbe Lezer is the one who says that you have people mafkin, so okay, so maybe they'll see the broken potsherds, and maybe it's inside, like Rabbi Yonah says, so you potter unless you intend to reacquire them once they're on the ground. But if there's a running ox, people can't be safeguarding that. You're chayav any running ox does, even after your mafkin. But let's go just a little bit further. Hashem imam shusarabi, somebody who spills water shusarabi. Luzak banach and somebody else got damaged on that water. So you are liable for that damage on that water. Habatziyat zakotz, if you put thorns, that's the schuchas in glass. Now go to Gidra and you put up a fence, the kotz in which has thorns. If your fence falls shusarabim, who's the banach and somebody else is damaged by them? Even though what you did initially was in your own reshus, chayav b'nizkor, you're liable in this nezek. Now Lieberman says that that's machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav still going back to the previous Mishnah. And Rav Huna says that the limits when you had it might to be zoiche, or it didn't have it might be zoiche, the stuff on the ground, right? So Rav Huna might that machlokas that which Rav Huna said that it has to do whether you had it might be zoiche with the stuff on the ground or not. That's only b'shenechba b'karko. It's only if you got damaged with the ground, right? The pot shards tripped you up and you hit the floor ground with a thud and you came damaged. On the slachu kalev, but let's say your kalev got wet, because remember it was a jug full of water. So that wetness that you're chayev on regardless, chayev, right? It's not a kalev chayev. Rav Mar feel the slachu kalev potter, even though the water was for sure yours, right? Nevertheless, if you got wet on your water with your water, you are potter, right? So the machlokas is whether you're chayiv basically on kalim in a bor, because the water is also a bor. So you're chayiv on kalim in the bor. So that's the machlokas. Milsa's Rav Amar, abortion is zokin potter kalim. Koine Rav, a bor of nizokin, you're exempt from kalim, right? Meaning the bor of water, which can't kill. Doesn't kill usually. Water doesn't kill. If you get died from slipping on water, it's because your head hit the ground, not because of the water, right? So if on a bor shel misa, a bor which has potential to kill, later I'm going to learn you are chayv on kalim. But a bor which only has potential in nizokin, here's machlokas Rav Huna and Rav. Rav Huna says a bor of nizokin, in that case there is no, you're not chayv on kalim. Rav Huna says you are chayv on kalim. Rav Mar bor shel nizokin pats on kalim. I hide my thorns and my glass into your wall. You come and break down your wall to expand your house of grace. You get damaged on the stuff which I hid there. I'm chayev. So where should you put thorns and stuff like that? So the first chasidim mayimatzim also toks teatzvo, they would put away the thorns in their own fields. Umamikim loem shlosh tovim, they put them three tovim in the ground. Kidei shlo talem hamachresha, in order that plow should not plow them up and to get people damaged. Pisco, somebody who puts up the barbed wire, right? So how can the Halukhari putting up your own domain? What's the problem? So it's when you put put them out and they jut out to the Rishus HaRabim. So it says Maraibun Rabbi Kum Rabbi Zera, but why are we saying you're jutting out the Rishus HaRabim? Maybe it's even on your own domain. Let's say it's called Rabbi Yosi Mirra. Damru said, "Top of you, daram up." Shloshu shein smuchelim. It should be l'rishus arabic or l'rishus arabic. The three things which even if they're only adjacent to l'rishus arabic, is if they're damaging l'rishus arabic. One of them is like a barbed wire fence. It's like damaging l'rishus arabic, even though it's just adjacent. So he said, you know, he could laugh that way. But Amalei said, "Umat bishloch. What do you care? Why is it bothering you? Dikar Rabbi Yochanan." Now we have Rabbi Yochanan Tiparta L'cha Tiparkov Mafriya. That's Rabbi Yochanan. It's where you make your fence jut out. You know, talk to our barbed wire fences where at the top they slant out. So that would be this case over here of Divrei HaKol. If somebody came and impaled themselves in that barbed wire, you're chayv because you were mafriach. If it's a direct up and down fence, so that would be a machlokas. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Chachomim, where there are fence adjacent to Rishus HaRabim, which has the potential to be mazik, I'm chayev on or not. Right? If I built in my Rishus. But if it's slanted out, then everybody would agree that I'm a chayev. Okay? For God, there's no Rishus HaRabim. And a fence is felt in Rishus HaRabim. And vote Shem Yerish Logish HaMad, right? Mayor is going to cry mayor. Right? Mayor, call mazik Shalona say de Maisa, even though the mazik didn't happen through a Maisa chayev. In other words, if a tree fell down, and Rishus HaRabim, it's only it's your tree, right? It was in your yard. Fell Rishus HaRabim, this is in the way, this is in the Bavli. And they said, listen, remove the tree. He didn't remove it by the allotted time, you're chayav for the damages wrought by the tree. Even though you didn't fall, it fell the tree, but they gave you a warning. A similar thing that Bahari Yashar brings down, Gemara beginning of Baal Basra. Ramirez says, if you have a vineyard, between your vineyard and your friend's wheat field, there's a fence, and the fence falls down, and you don't fix it, and you leave it that way. So eventually, you're chayav because of the kilayim situation. Same idea. They gave you time to fix it, they didn't fix it. You're chayav. That's our mayor shita. Okay. Where do we see a dessert? That's our mayor shita. And the same thing in our mishta. If your fence fell into Rishus HaRabim and you left it there, didn't fix it, you're liable. Where we see that, Vadam Radar, Nosos Malkutsis here, and they gave him time to chop down his tree, which is dangerous. This is supposed to break down a dangerous wall. Nofel Tochazman, and they fell during that time, Potter. Lachazman, if they fell later on, after your time of warning had elapsed, then you're liable. Kamay Azman, what is the amount of time you had warning? 30 days you have in order to rectify the situation. So if you don't rectify it by then, you're liable. So too, if your fence fell, you don't take it out by the time Mason tells you, then you're liable for damages wrought by that fence.